Hello and welcome to the programme.
There are 9 million bicycles in Beijing. That's a fact. It's a thing we can't deny. Like the fact that I will love you till I die.
Today, lay off the lawnmowers, put away the pesticides, plant lots of bulbs. We'll hear about the ways we can prime our parks and gardens for pollinators and one particular project that's creating a bit of a buzz. Éireann Ealaíne has a head-to-head with Minister for Communications, Climate Action and Environment, Richard Bruton, and a glimpse into our greener future. Could e-bikes be the key to bringing down our transport emissions? We take a trip to a specialist bike shop looking at features on budget and high-end models.
Okay, we have a particularly fancy looking bike behind us, and I believe it's the most expensive one in the shop, so maybe you tell us why it's so amazing.
Yeah, so this is a Stromer ST5, and the retail price on that is €9,750, which is a little bit extravagant, some would argue, for a bike. So it's a very premium brand. It's a much larger capacity battery than any of the other ones, so it's a kilowatt-hour battery. So Stromer will quote up to 180 kilometres of range before you need to charge it. It's got a few other cool features as well. So it has regenerative braking. So as you freewheel or as you brake, you're going to put a little bit more power back into your battery. Again, it's got a similar supernova light set. So you've got a brake light and you also have a high and low beam that you can dip depending. This is the one we were chatting about earlier that has a few cool safety features. So you can lock it via PIN code. So if anyone moves it, you get a push notification to your phone. It has a built-in GPS tracker, which is particularly useful if it does go missing. Well, there's an onboard computer on it that lets you tweak exactly how much torque you have to put into the pedals before it starts to assist you, and as well you can tweak the progression as well. So there's no end of sort of techie cool stuff on this bike, which is kind of the reason for the price point.
Seems like an awful lot of money for a bike, but that's the way it's going.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did need some talking to the sun.
Anyway, the decline of bee populations globally is a well-publicised issue, not least on this programme, and one that could have a dramatic impact on our food supply. Crops pollinated by bees make up 35% of overall food production, but pollinator numbers are in decline due to a combination of factors including habitat loss, intensification of agriculture, hunger due to a decline in wildflowers, and poisoning by pesticides. One third of Irish bee species are now threatened with extinction. The All-Ireland Pollinator Plan is about creating a landscape where pollinators like bees can survive and thrive. And everyone from farmers to schoolgoers, gardeners, businesses and local authorities have a part to play. Dalry-Rathdown County Council has recently launched their Do Not Cut or Spray for Nature Wildlife Areas plan. This project aims to manage roadside verges, green spaces and parks in a way that supports and encourages pollinators. By changing how they mow these areas and by reducing pesticides, they're also growing these wildlife corridors across the country and increasing biodiversity. Éireann Ealaíne made a beeline for Marley Park, where she met with Chief of Parks with Dalry-Rathdown County Council, Rory O'Dooling, to find out more.
There's always roadside signs up for something or another, but when I saw one that said, Limit Tear Fia Gulva, No Bwin, No Spray All, Nature Wildlife Area, Do Not Cut or Spray, stuck in the roadside, I thought to myself, now what is this all about? And I saw that this particular one was owned by Dalry-Rathdown Council. So I thought, what shall I do? I shall go and ask the Chief of Parks with Dalry-Rathdown County Council, Rory O'Dooling, what's going on. How are you, Rory?
How are you, Aina? You're welcome to DLR.
Thank you very much. Now I'm looking at this sign, Nature Wildlife Area, Do Not Cut or Spray. This is just a roadside verge. Is this just you lot being lazy?
I know it could be perceived as that, but the reason the sign is there is to tell people that this is actually an intervention rather than just leaving it go. The council has obligations under the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan, and one of the objectives is obviously to increase the biodiversity corridors along our roads, motorways, also roundabouts and other areas at junctions. So traditionally you would see grass manicured, sprayed, cut within an inch of its life sometimes. So we changed that and we're letting the grass go, but we're also making other interventions in terms of pollinator-friendly bulb planting and other issues like that.
So this is all part of the pollinator plan. I don't think people understand really the importance of pollination. There are only two types of plants in the world. Plants that are pollinated by the wind and plants that are pollinated by insects. I know there's a few water-pollinated ones, but in general. So the plants that are pollinated by the wind are mostly grasses, so wheat, barley, grasses of all sorts, and trees. And everything else is pollinated by insects. So if we don't have insects to pollinate them, we'll be reduced to eating bread and no jam. There won't be any fruit or anything like this. So it's hugely important. So it isn't just saving a few bees. It isn't just saving dandelions. It's actually saving creatures that are needed to keep the whole thing going. So I think that's really important, that people would understand that pollinators are actually going to plants looking for nectar in the main, apart from the bees. Nobody actually wants the pollen. It's just a byproduct of sticking your head in. You're going to the flower for, like, going to the pub. You're going for a drink. You're going for nectar. The pubs aren't much good. You only get one drink in every pub. You have to go off to the next one with your head covered in the pollen, and you bring the pollen from one plant to another. It's really simple. But if we don't have the flowers, if we don't have sources of nectar, we're not going to have pollination. And if we've no pollination, we have no seeds, no fruit, no nothing, and plants can't survive. So it's as critical and as fundamental as that.
It is, and it's a very simple solution. It's not taking a huge amount of critical investment on our part. In some cases, in other of our roadside margins, we'd have no bulb planting, for example, and we just let the grass grow. Early on in the season, we let the dandelions grow, and that's something traditionally we would be cutting the head off them as soon as you see them. And if you interpret a field of yellow, you know, what is the difference between a field of dandelions and a field of daffodils? You know, really, other than the dandelions might be better, in fact, for pollinators than the daffodils would be.
Well, they would be, I suppose, because, like, I suppose dandelions are native plants, aren't they? Daffodils
yes.
are sort of gardeny ones. But the thing about it is that if you don't have any maintenance and you let the stuff grow, then you're going to have things coming up that can't survive getting their heads cut off. The plants that like their heads cut off are grass, which grow from the bottom, and the rosette plants, like daisies and dandelions, that are growing from the bottom.
Yeah.
And the more you mow, the more you actually make this place suitable for daisies and dandelions, because they can grow from the bottom. So the ones that grow from the top, all at the moment, as the hedgerows are full of cow parsley, there's full of things like beautiful bits of meadowsweet, these things that if you cut their heads off aren't going to come back. So what you're trying to do is not so much encourage the grass, but encourage all the other things that wouldn't survive being cut once.
It's also very important for us to manage the expectation and the message. And we're coming back to your first question about the signage. It's massively important that we let people know what we're doing and why we're doing it. The other measure we would talk about is eliminating herbicide usage, for example. No spraying at all. So that, and I'm even finding, and I have a lot of years of experience in this, that for the first time this year, people are demanding that we spray less. You know, and we used to spray around the base of trees, for example. This is my favourite example. So traditionally, the council goes in, we have trees in a grass area, so we spray all around the base, we kill everything off, it's lovely and brown, the roots start to get exposed, the soil starts to disappear, but it's great because the grass machine doesn't hit the tree when it's cutting the grass. So you start to think about that for a while, you say, actually, isn't that madness? We're spraying so a machine doesn't hit the tree when it's cutting the grass. So there's all kinds of things there which we're now looking at. But we have to manage expectations, because people are used to manicured areas, and some. But we have to tell them, you know, if you want to do this, this is the way it's going to look and this is the way it's going to feel.
What do you think of the word weed? People say, well, if you don't do it, the place will be full of weeds. What is a weed, Rory?
I don't know what a weed is anymore. My training...
A weed is a plant in the wrong place.
Yes.
That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah.
But my training was, when I went to college 3,000 years ago, was to how to kill everything. And now that's changed. It's changed. It's how, you know, it's now questioning, what have we lost? What should grow here? What would grow here? And how do we get back to that?
Plants in the right place are wildflowers. So if you have a dandelion or a daisy growing on a roadside verge, that's right. If you decide that you need a manicured lawn and you don't want a daisy in the middle of your lawn, well, that's your problem, because gardening, as we all know, is an unnatural practice. You take out the stuff that naturally grows and put in things that you prefer. Whereas what you're letting happen along the roadside verges is whatever's there will come and be in its natural habitat,
exactly.
Which is at the roadside verge, kind of a half woodlandy place, really.
And the other interesting thing about that is that you're creating a corridor. So a corridor for movement of insects. Now, if they move across, they're going to get swatted by something, but at least if you have a long margin, you know, and we try to encourage that there are connections between those so that you end up with some kind of wildlife corridors, even in the busiest of roads and the busiest of cities, and we can all work on that, we can all encourage that. We do that through our hedgerows anyway.
What about the age-old complaints? We have to cut the hedges and we have to cut the verges because the cars can't see round the corner and we'll all have accidents. The roads will be dangerous places. How do you cope with that criticism?
Okay, that's a very good question. I think, obviously, the Wildlife Act has been a wonderful and fantastic help to all of us, and certainly help to wildlife who are still alive because of it. But anyway, the nesting season is fantastic and we stay away from areas during the nesting season, unless there is a really definite, you know, road danger or some kind of hazard there at a junction, maybe where sight lines are affected or something like that. And in some cases, we have to do that.
So it should be an exception rather than a general rule, you know, that you would actually cut roadside verges to make... People should be going slower if they can't see so well. But, I mean, you couldn't tell people to go slower in their cars now, could you?
Yeah, and I know we've had that issue traditionally with roundabouts as well. Our colleagues in on the engineering side of the house would say, should have nothing there at all so everybody can see everything. Whereas I've had a lot of roundabouts where you have a good bit of vegetation on it, but if you have a 2 metre mown strip along the outside, then you're fine.
People can see this.
And I agree with you. If there's a barrier there, people do tend to slow down, you know, and it should slow them down. But I just make the point that sometimes we do have to do some work.
The other criticism, let us say, not that I'm making it, but I'm the voice of the people, you understand, in these cases. The criticism is, if you don't mow anything and it's all this long grass and stuff, should the place be overwhelmed with rats and dreadful vermin that we don't want?
Yeah, I've never seen that happen. And I've heard that. I mean, I've even heard criticism that we'd end up people dumping washing machines in the middle of it. And I haven't seen that happen either. A lot of the councils now are adopting wildflower meadows in their parks, for example, in the larger parks, and even in some of the smaller parks. And one of the most beautiful things in high summer is a mown walking strip through the middle of one of those. You see kids running through it and people just getting close to the grass as it grows longer to understand that it's a plant, it's not just a small little
green bit, yeah. That there's actually flower heads on it and the wind-blown pollen is coming from those. But, you know, you're talking about leaving this unmown, you're talking about being slow to mow, not to mow your grass too early in the year to let your dandelions come up, and this is policy for the local authorities, but it could be policy for gardeners or people with their own land as well, couldn't it?
Oh, definitely, and I think that's what's so wonderful about the All Ireland Pollinator Plan, because it's not just for local authorities, it's for everybody. And just because the government goes and declares a climate emergency doesn't mean that we can all go home and have a cup of tea and say, that's fine, it's going to be sorted. We all have a role. Every single person has a role. If you have a, you know, 5 square metres of grass in the front, you could think about what you do. Why do you mow that every week? Is there something different you could do with that? If you have a tree in the back, you'd say, think, well, I need to cut that down. Why? Or is it too big for some reason? So everybody has a role.
So you're saying that if you have a front lawn that you've been mowing for years, or you have a piece of a park here that you've been mowing for years, and you stop mowing, that plants will appear that you never saw before, that are dormant in the soil, that are now getting a chance to germinate.
You might even see a cowslip. You never know. You know, what an amazing thing to... And I've seen them, and never mind the neighbours, sure, they might join in, and, you know, you could have a conversation about why you're doing it.
So this notice that we're looking at is actually telling us, you know, nature wildlife area, and it's got a picture of what looks like, for all the world, a dandelion type thing and a bee on it. So all of those yellow flowers that people think are dandelions and weeds are in fact great sources of pollen, because they're collections of little tiny flowers all together. I mean, when you see the dandelion as a clock, every one of those is a little flower that can blow off. So a huge amount of pollen in dandelions,
sure.
Particularly. And they're lovely, happy yellow flowers too, aren't they?
They're fabulous. So sometimes it's a matter of perception, you know. it's a perception of what is beauty. If you're looking at a tree, for example, if you look at most of the trees, if you were to go down to Marley Park, for example, and look at the trees, as a group, they look fantastic. If you start to look at individual, they're all a bit wonky. They're kind of, some of them are leaning, falling over, a bit sticking out of them. But that's part of the beauty in
nature. But they're part of a harmony.
Nature.
They're a harmony altogether.
Absolutely.
They're not individuals. They're part of a woodland edge.
Absolutely.
So you've just started this, Dunleary Rat Down. Is this your first year of doing this?
This is the first year where we are, yeah, because we have a, I suppose, a landscape management programme for all of the county. And we now have 189 locations where we're managing these pollinator, non-spraying, non-mow areas. So some of them are tiny, you can imagine the number of them, and some of them are quite big. And we're, our hope and expectation is that is going to increase. And I would strongly urge people to go online and look at the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan, because that lays out all kinds of simple things that anybody and everybody can do. Even your hanging basket, you could do something to encourage pollinators.
So not long before you'll have all these lovely flowers on the verge because you haven't been mowing, and there'll be a whole cloud of butterflies and hoverflies and bees hovering over these, visiting them and doing their pollinating. Because in a way, you know, I think butterflies are like flying flowers, so that's another layer of beauty to look at as well.
And I know that myself, my own back garden, even though I got criticised at home for it, I let the grass grow, and I had a peacock butterfly, and I had never seen one in the back garden before.
This is in the city,
yeah,
in Dublin someplace.
Yeah, in Dublin 15, sitting on a dandelion in the back garden.
And they're such super butterflies,
beautiful.
Those big ones with peacock, big circles on their wings. I tend to see them when I'm out on heaths and mountains,
and
away from civilization.
If I cut the grass, that it would never have come there.
Yeah, indeed. So well done. So let's all hear it for the nature wildlife area signs. They're great things to see, and we should be looking for more of them. Thanks, Rory, for talking to me.
Thanks very much, Anna.
For more information, you can visit the website, rte.ie/Mooney.